G'day, I'm Mark, and welcome to episode 12 of Irk to the Diary Room. Irk to the Diary Room is a part of Channel Irk that you can find at irktothediaryroom.com. Coming to you once again from my mobile diary room, i.e. my car on my way to the place of my appointment. It is the October long weekend, which is really strange because it is still September. Ironically, we're celebrating Labor Day, and I'm working all weekend, so go figure, hey? Funnily enough, people still want to take trains on long weekends. Who would have thought? Anywho, on this episode, I'm glad to say that episodes 10 and 11 finally came out, so I'm now into uncharted waters, episode 12. And on this episode, I'm going to talk about families and what happens when current day events reflect on a show that you've previously watched or a movie that you've previously watched, and how well do these movies or TV shows stand up now? I'm sure we've all got favourite TV shows that we've watched, and because of the availability of the internet and things like DVDs, it's quite possible to watch shows that you watched back in the 70s and the 80s. For me, I like buying shows on DVDs, and then what I'll do, I'll just watch a complete series one after the other. I might not complete that in the one sitting, but I'll, you know, watch one thing until it's done. And I know there's been a few shows from the 70s and the 80s especially, but some from the 90s that I have enjoyed as a younger person, and now I've gone back and revisited them. Sometimes they stand up and sometimes they don't. Of course, the technology now that we've got and the way that shows are filmed now compared to how they would have been filmed in the 70s, 80s and 90s is a lot better. Of course, you've got better technology for capturing the images, and then you've also got better technology for watching the images as well. Bigger TVs, high definition, and a lot of things like that. And it's also easier to store them, whether you store them on the computer or whether you store them on DVDs and the like. And on this episode, I'm going to talk about some of those shows that I have watched and enjoyed and see if indeed they hold up. And also, I wonder about what happens when you have a current event, something that's happening now, how does that reflect on the show that you've watched and enjoyed? So all that, and who knows what else in the next half hour or so. In the 1970s, I was born, I was a mid-70s baby, and so I really start to remember watching TV from about 1980 onwards. And two of the shows that I watched way back then, I watched again recently over the last few years. And while they might not necessarily stand up because a lot of things have changed in the types of shows that they are, it's still great to go back and have a look at them and think, wow, how much has that changed? Sometimes if it doesn't stand up, you can think, wow, how much has that changed? How better are things now compared to back then? I'm talking about two shows that came out of the Los Angeles area in the late 70s. One was called Emergency and the other one was called Chips. And indeed, I seem to recall there's at least one crossover between the two. CHIPS stood for California Highway Patrol, and it followed, as you might expect by the name, it followed the adventures of the California Highway Patrol, most notably two motorcycle cops, John and Ponch. And, you know, way back then it was two guys riding on motorcycles, riding around the streets of Los Angeles and the San Diego Freeway. An interesting fact about that particular show was that no one got shot, no one really got injured, apart from, you know, all the people in the car crashes, but no one got injured in terms of being shot by anybody, that sort of thing. The most they usually did was pull out their batons, or what some people might call their clubs. And even today, the term chippies sort of lives on when you're talking about the California Highway Patrol. And I dare say that there's many a cop who can look back at that TV show and go, yeah, that show made me want to be a cop. Well, I know partly that show made me want to go to Los Angeles. Another interesting fact about that show was that a lot of the freeway scenes that they filmed, they were filmed when the highway, or the freeway, the interstate, call it what you will, was actually under construction and not necessarily open to the general public. So it was a lot easier to film the sort of scenes that they did. Of course, they did some location shooting on open roads, but the majority of the freeway scenes were done, especially in the early seasons, were done on sections that weren't actually open to the public yet, which was rather interesting. I couldn't imagine them shutting down a section of the San Diego Freeway or equivalent today during the daytime, just so someone could film basically what was a TV drama series. The other show that, same sort of era, same sort of location, was a show called Emergency. And it really made a lot of people want to be paramedics, and also made a lot of people want to be firefighters. Up until that point, both on screen and off screen, firefighters put out fires, and the ambulance drivers were basically ambulance drivers. They would just pick you up from the scene, get you to the hospital as quick as possible, and let the emergency room staff do their stuff. However, around about that time, they thought, well, we actually need to help the emergency room staff, and we need to not only just pick you up, scoop and run, but you could actually start a lot of the treatment, so you'd have a head start on what was going to happen in the emergency room, and you could give the emergency room sort of some sort of heads up to say, hey, look, you know, we've got this massive trauma coming in, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing to try and stop it. Yeah, we'll be there in 5 minutes, sort of thing. And so it was set up around a fire station in suburban Los Angeles. There was a fire engine, Engine 51, and there was a truck with two firefighter paramedics on board, Squad 51. And they'd go out to various emergencies in and around that area of Los Angeles. And the funny thing is, of course, just like the chips example, a lot of things have changed in firefighting and paramedicine and pre-emergency room treatment, but the show is still good if you remember that this is a show from the 1970s, and a lot of things have changed. They wouldn't be able to get away with half of the things they got away with on Emergency, and I've spoken to several firefighters and several paramedics in the US, and I've heard others who have said, yes, that show Emergency prompted their interest to get into the relevant service. And of course, with all the changes, you might argue that things that it doesn't stand up today, but you also might think that, wow, look at how far we've come and look at how good we've got it today compared to how they had it back in the 70s. So that's just two classic examples. When I went to the US in in 2009, I actually went to the fire station that Emergency was filmed at. They did a lot of filming actually at the station and on location. And the fire station itself, you can actually go to. It's still an operating fire station in Los Angeles County. It's Station 121, sorry, 127. Station 127 of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. When I was at the tail end of my massive road trip to the US in 2009, the very last thing that I did before returning the hire car was to actually go to the station. I took my photo out the front of it and all of that sort of stuff. And there are plaques on the wall that commemorate what the scene was and what that show did for the fire service and also paramedical services. Unfortunately, the station was empty at the time. The firefighters were out on call, so I couldn't drop in and say hi. I dare say they must be used to people dropping in and saying hi. But the station is so much smaller than it looks on TV, but you can really go to a location like that and you can think, wow, you know, I am here, I am where this was filmed. I can see the oil refinery that was in the background or whatever. I can imagine being back here in the 70s, pardon me, and seeing those two trucks to park the station. So what I'm going to do now, before we talk a little bit about families and what some of my favourite TV families and what's changed, I'm going to play a song which is relevant to the next topic at hand. This is Vanity Riot with their song Prettiest Fighter. You're listening to Irk on Irk to the Diary Room, episode 12, irktothediaryroom.com.
She says the world won't wait with bated breath to award the one.
Welcome back to episode 12 of Irk to the Diary Room, irktothedioryroom.com. Coming to you for the moment at least from the M4 motorway, which is a common recording location for me in the mobile diary room. What happens when you watch a TV show, or a movie for that matter, and things change? Now, what do I mean by that, I hear you ask?
Irk, what do you mean by that?
Well, simply, over time, people's values change. Society's values change. What we can talk about, or what we feel like talking about now as a society, changes. And so what might have been acceptable, for instance, in the 70s, 80s and 90s, today in 2012, not so much. And then, of course, there's things that might have happened, whether it be off the set or in the actors' personal lives, where you might think differently about that particular show. And when you think about it, there's a lot of families that you see, a lot of families on TV that you see, and then of course you compare them to your own family and all that sort of stuff. And with a lot of the shows that have been on TV for years and years and years, you know that the people are acting, but you think that you know them anyway. And it's very common for people, when they actually meet the actors, to think that they should be exactly like the person that they are on screen, but that's not necessarily the case. So if I go back and I think about some of the families that I've seen on TV, and you think, you know, where are they now, what have they been up to, and what's been going on? The first such Australian family, and I'm going to stick to Australia for the moment and then work my way out, is a show called Kingswood Country. And it might not translate well today, and it might not necessarily translate well for some of the references, might not translate for American viewers, and also for people who might not remember the references of the time. So if you're watching Kingswood Country in 2012 on DVD, for instance, and you don't know the particular topical references of the day that they're making, it might not seem as funny as you might get the references, you might not. The main character of Kingswood Country was a guy called Ted Bullpit, who was the head of the house, and it was a very typical time of the 70s where the husband went out to work, the wife stayed at home, and it was the start of the time in Australia where the multicultural thing was starting to come out, where Aussie girls were marrying ethnic guys and vice versa. You know, it wasn't necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? Intercultural marriages and things like that. And so the Bullpit family had Ted and wife and mother Thelma and son Craig and daughter Greta. And then there was Greta's husband, Bruno, who was ethnic. And Ted didn't like this, of course. And so lots of comedy ensues there from, you know, exchanges between Ted and Bruno. And then you got such classic catchphrases as "put your money on the fridge, bloody wog," and things you wouldn't necessarily be able to say on TV today. One such reference which might escape American viewers in particular is the references to the title, actually, Kingswood Country. The Holden Kingswood is a car that a lot of people had in the 1970s and 80s. And it would be as common as, say, a Crown Victoria police car. And so Ted's son Craig would want to borrow the car, and Ted was very proud of his car, and he'd say, "Oh no, not the Kingswood. You're not taking the Kingswood. I've just armoured all the front seats, you know, or I've just done something ridiculous like glad wrapped the tow bar or something like that." Might not stand up today, but if you are prepared to put current day sensibilities aside, you might still get some laughs out of it. I know I do. Another such family is the Kelly family from Hey Dad, which was a little bit later in the 1980s. And unfortunately, current day events might taint what you think about that show. It was at a time where there weren't a lot of single parents on TV. It was all, you know, husband, wife, family sort of thing. Whereas in the story, Martin Kelly's wife, I think she passed away from cancer or something like that. And so he was left to raise a son that was just about to leave high school, a teenage daughter a couple of years behind, and then a daughter who was just about ready to hit her teens. And apart from running a home by himself, he was also running an architectural business. He was an architect. And so they had dim-witted Secretary Betty from Walgett come in, and some of her lines were absolutely hysterical. However, now, in 2012, having seen that this show was mid to late 80s, there's now child sex allegations against the main star of the show in relation to doing things that he shouldn't have been doing with young female cast members. So that's a current investigation, so I can't say too much. However, having said that, mud sticks, and even if he does turn out to be innocent, if you watch that show now, you'd probably think, what exactly was going on while that show was going on, when the cameras weren't running? What was actually going on backstage? And if you want to use an American example of that, think of the Brady Bunch, where a lot of the cast members have come out later on and said various things and the effect of being a young child star. And then, of course, you have to look at Different Strokes, which was a story about another taboo at the time, where a rich white man adopted two black sons from Harlem, and he was in Upper Manhattan in New York. And so at that time, again, I think it was late 70s, early 80s, you know, there wasn't a lot of interracial relationships on TV. It was either very white or very black, but black and white mixed well here. And as it was a sitcom at the time, you know, it was very family friendly, but it was also very funny. You might remember Willis and Arnold were the two African American children. And Arnold's famous catchphrase of, "What you talking about, Willis?" But unfortunately, there's been a massive curse of Different Strokes, so you might think. The daughter of the family, Kimberly, the actor who played her, Dana Plato, she died in an overdose. Todd Bridges, Willis, is he still with us? I'm not sure, but he's had a lot of trouble with drugs and crime and that sort of stuff. And Gary Coleman, who played Arnold, he died of kidney disease, and he's had his fair share of off-screen dramas as well. And so those sort of things, you go back and you think, wow, you know, they look such wholesome kids, and look how they turned out, unfortunately. Then you move to another favourite family of mine, the Bundy family, with Ed O'Neill, who is now in Modern Family, playing a similar sort of role, actually, to what he did back then as Al Bundy. And then you've got Katie Sagal, who plays Peggy Bundy, the mother. Oh, she was hilarious. And then you've got Christina Applegate, the very gorgeous Christina Applegate, who is still doing sitcoms. She had a recent encounter with breast cancer, but she survived. And the guy who's played Bud, David Fastiano, I think his name is, but the Bundys, they were very, very, very dysfunctional. Yeah, they were a very dysfunctional but very funny family. Al was the shoe salesman who didn't earn a lot of money. Peggy stayed at home, but she just spent all day watching Oprah, useless in the kitchen. And then you've got Bud, who didn't have much success with the women, and Kelly, who had major success with the guys. And, of course, the usual sort of teenage things, you know, bringing guys home, Al grabbing them by the collar and throwing them out. One classic episode that I remember that the Bundys had no food, no surprise there, and so they thought they'd go and live in a supermarket. You know, just stuff like that. A lot of it was done in studio, but very funny stuff. And then you've got Modern Family, which is a modern day version of Married with Children, whereas you've got almost every sort of relationship going. You've got the classic nuclear family. You've got the gay family with an adopted daughter. You've got the guy going around with his second much younger wife. It's a very funny show, Modern Family. But it's very relevant, and I wonder how that show will stand up in 10 years' time. You can see the links between Married with Children and also Modern Family. There's another family which I'm watching at the moment, which is called Outnumbered. And it's actually a British show, and it features the husband. It's a typical nuclear family again, husband and wife, and they are funny. And then you get the two teenage boys. One teenage boy is about 12, and he's at the really gross stage. He'll go out and say or do anything. And then you get the old, and that's Ben. You get the older guy, Jake, who's about 15, trying to act 17, 18, 19, 20, who thinks he's really swisho with the chicks. And then you get little adorable Karen, who's about 7 or 8, depending on what season you're watching. And she should, I've said this before, that she should have her own show, or her own spin-off, called Karen Opens the Door. You know, she's the sort of child that I think I was when I was growing up. You know, but why, Mummy? Why is this so? You know, what's worse, Mummy? Heightened alertness or serious alertness? You know, she'd be, am I going to get blown up as I walk to the bus stop, Mummy, by a terrorist? You know, that sort of stuff. And some of the stuff that she comes up with. And like Modern Family, a lot of that show is ad-libbed. And people say that you shouldn't work with children or animals, but the children on this show are amazing for how young they are. Me, personally, I'm not a major fan of the two boys. You can just get rid of them because they're just taking Karen's screen time as far as I'm concerned. She is absolutely awesome, and I haven't seen many child roles like her. There's probably one child back from the 80s which would be probably similar to her, which would be Punky Brewster. And she was probably the first female TV star that I had a crush on. And recently I went out and I purchased a couple of seasons of Punky Brewster on DVD. I haven't watched them yet. In some ways it was a similar sort of time and a similar sort of storyline to Different Strokes, whereas Punky was adopted by an older guy, and back at that stage, and sort of with the Hey Dad thing too, it was if the marriage or whatever split up, 99.9999% of the time, the mother would get custody of the kids, and that has improved today, but it's very often the case that the child goes with the mother, and you'd think that there was something wrong with a guy who wanted to be the full-time carer of the kids. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. I've enjoyed, of course, talking to you and bringing you about it. I know I have a lot of feedback from Shauno. I will eventually record an episode from the studio so I can talk about some of the stuff that Shauno's talked about, because that's brought back extra memories. And I also want to bring you some audio from some of the shows that I've been talking about, because, you know, there's movie trailers and promos and all that sort of stuff that I want to bring you, which would be absolutely cool. Anywho, if you do want to give me feedback, you can leave a comment on the Shauno notes at irktothediaryroom.com. You can send me an email at irkpod@gmail.com, or indeed, you can interact with me on the social networks. Links are on the show notes at irktothediaryroom.com. Anywho, as I try and find parking around the combi, I'm Irk. Thank you for listening. The music you heard on this episode was Vanity Riot with their song Prettiest Fighter. And now we're going to hear Joan of Arc with a song called Say Sayonara. Very irrelevant to the end of an episode, really. Until next time, I'm Irk. Thanks for listening. Good night, everyone. Konnichiwa.